No te despegues de nuestra programación. Sigue con Encuentro Radio. Comunícate con nosotros a través de nuestro WhatsApp 302-521-2342.
3, 2, 1. Welcome to Open Space Conversations. This radio program is brought to you by Global Mission Fellows,
a community dedicated to amplifying the voices and stories of diverse communities around the world.
We will be diving into important social justice issues of our time, exploring the ways that they intersect with beliefs, science, technology, and the environment.
Aiming to open spaces to have conversations about critical issues that are shaping our world today and working toward solutions to create a more equitable and just world for all.
From climate change, education, gender justice, health, and food security, in this space, you're welcome. In this conversation, your voice is heard.
Tune in to our special episodes Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and through podcast version of CIPOC and Encuentro Radio.
Hello everyone. Buenos dias, buenas tardes, buenas noches. Greetings to all. I am your host, Paula, from the Philippines, who currently serving here in Southeast Asia. And you are tuning in to Open Space Conversations. Today, I am here with my friends from all over the world. And now I'm inviting them to tell us a little something about themselves.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tapiwa Prosper-Jibazwa. I'm from Zimbabwe, and I'm serving in Sierra Leone.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tinodiwanashe Allen Mangada. I'm from Zimbabwe, and I'm serving in Northern Ireland.
Hello, I am Obey. I am 20 years old, and I am based in Germany, originally from Syria.
Hello, I'm Steve Chingaza from Malawi, and I'm serving in Liberia. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, thank you for choosing to share with us today, and welcome to Open Space Conversations. Today, we will tackle another issue, which is about refugees and asylum seekers. We would like to emphasize raising awareness on how we can help in advocating for this global crisis. But before that, I will have a quick disclaimer. The views and opinions of the host and guest do not reflect the views and opinions of any organization, especially the Global Ministries or Global Mission Fellows. Also, not all of us are professional in this topic, but for this episode, we will share based on our research and personal experiences. Also, this topic is sensitive and might trigger some people. So please also be aware that if you are uncomfortable or having a hard time listening, feel free to disconnect. On the other hand, we will also like to hear from you. So share your stories, comments, questions, or whatever you want to say to the group. You can participate by sending a message or questions directly to the panelists and hosts, or by leaving a comment on our Facebook Live, which can be found by searching Open Space Conversations GMF 2022 to 2024. Again, that is Open Space Conversations GMF 2022 to 2024. Just a reminder that this is a space for everyone to feel heard and included, so please be mindful of your words. So, to start off our conversation about this topic, I would like to invite Tapiwa to help us understand who are the people we call refugees and who are not. So, take it away, Tapiwa.
All right. Thank you very much, Paul, for quite a very good introduction. So, I think for me, my job is very easy because I'm just going to do the ground setting into the discussion. So I'm just going to define a refugee from two different angles. That is the first definition. I'm getting it from the UN Refugee Convention of 1951, which says that is a refugee is one who over fully well-founded fear flees their country to another country based to run away from persecution based on race, religion, nationality, political opinion, or membership from any other group. So that's a basic definition of a refugee. And then I would then also define what is called an internally displaced person. These are individuals being forced to flee their homes but remain within the borders of their country. And then an asylum seeker, these are individuals who are left, who left their home countries and seeking protection in another country, but have not yet been granted the refugee status. And then a stateless person, these refer to individuals who are not considered as national by any country and they lack legal recognition. So I would just like to further clarify the difference between a refugee and an asylum seeker. The only difference between the two is based on a legal basis. And the legal basis of that, one has already been granted a refugee status, and the other one is still seeking to get a status in a state and nation. So many people, due to the ever-changing world, due to my research, I've seen that in Africa alone, we have approximately around 7.8 million of refugee and asylum seekers within countries such as Uganda, Ethiopia, and Sudan, hosting the most significant highest population, and around 19.4 million of internally displaced people within the countries like Nigeria, South Sudan, and Democratic Republic of Congo who are facing we're running away from different issues, one of the key issues being conflict and violence. So there's been ongoing debates on the definition of refugee based on things that are now happening in the current context and the current world, whereby we have seen that displacement is now being driven by things like developmental projects. Displacement is now being driven like things like natural disasters such as climate change. And also there is a small key group that is also facing persecution but not well considered by the definition of the refugee, the LGBTQ community. These are not well considered by the definition of the refugee, but they are also part of the people who are facing persecution and are finding it a very hard time in being considered. So one definition that is nearly close to encompassing this whole group of people is the Kampala Convention that is known as the African Union Convention for Protection and Assistance of Internally Displaced Persons in Africa. So primarily it addresses the protection and assistance of internally displaced persons within the African countries, but it also defines IDPs as persons or groups of persons who have been forced or obliged to flee or leave their homes or places of habitual residence, in particular as a result of, in order to avoid effects of armed conflict, situations of generalized violence, violations of human rights, and or natural or human-made diseases, and who have not crossed an international recognized border. So this is how they define IDPs, but it's also being encompassed now into the definition of a refugee, and this is a very ongoing debate. So to wrap up, I just want to maybe raise quite a very interesting issue in terms of the definition of the refugee and the challenges that most people are facing in trying to get a refugee status, as clearly defined, like from the definition that is being used currently, it doesn't involve everyone. And we have members from the LGBTQ community who are facing challenges in getting recognition as refugee in many countries. And this is based on that many countries right now do not recognize LGBTQ individuals as a persecuted group eligible for refugee status. And these individuals may face persecution, discrimination, and violence in their own countries due to their sexual orientation or gender. However, proving their persecution based on sexual orientation or gender identity has been very, very challenging, and some asylum systems lack clear guidance and understanding of LGBTQ related persecution. So also going to give it up to this group to discuss like how best can these groups that are marginalized address these key issues and also be helped and also be included. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tapiwa. So yeah, Tapiwa give us some inputs and shared about the definition, but also here is some question, here is some issue that we can also talk about later. So before we dwell into that questions, I want to ask Tino to share some information about other information that we can be able to understand about this or about their standing and about their situation. So go ahead, Tino.
Thank you so much, Paul, for the opportunity to share. In this issue about refugees and asylum seekers, we've heard from my brother Tapiwa, where he was just giving like a background and like a brief analysis on the issue of refugees, asylum seekers, and he pinpointed out some of the important aspects about this issue. So today, I'll just be talking about our needs and challenges, you know, that face people, that face refugees and asylum seekers. So first and foremost, the term refugee on its own is a challenge when it comes to this aspect, because like with the title refugee, you are already suffering a sort of stigma whereby you're just being marginalized just because of that title of like you are a refugee, and it's normally associated with, you know, people are moving into another country seeking you know shelter, help, or like fleeing away from conflict or persecution. Another challenge that is faced by refugees and asylum seekers is they find it very hard to work and have a secure source of income. You know how it is, it's really difficult, you know, it's a sudden migration when you're moving from your home country and going to a foreign country. You don't even have time to like pick up your papers, you know, certificates and some other things that might actually help you to secure a job. So at the end of the day, most of refugees and asylum seekers will resort to, you know, some low income jobs that cannot be able to sustain their lives and the lives of the people that they will be with. Also, another issue, challenge that is faced with refugees is it is quite difficult, you know, the environment that they will be, and it's a very harsh condition to raise children, considering that most refugees, their mothers, you know, that have got like little children that they move with. So imagine, you know, having to raise kids in such a harsh environment with a lot of people and like a lot going on during that time. And also during the migration process, it increases the vulnerability of many refugees during when they are traveling, because they encounter a lot of sexual abuse. You know, they are eligible and exposed to different kind of health hazards whilst during their transition from the country they are fleeing to the country that they will be seeking refuge. So these are some of the challenges, also including stress and anxiety. You know, you won't be stable and like your mind won't be in the right state, you know, having to think that, you know, I'm leaving my home country and moving to another country of the unknown, but just for the fact that I need to seek refuge, I'm bound to move. So these are some of the challenges that I've managed to pick up about this. And probably before I wrap up, I'll just move on to some of the needs that refugees and asylum seekers need and, you know, they might want, and we might also be able to give. Most of them, they generally need mental support. You know, during this time and time of distress and like times of need, it's really hard to cope up with whatever that will be going on. So it's really important for them to have mental support. Thus, stakeholders and organizations that in charge of assisting refugees and asylum seekers, they should also make sure that they provide mental support to these people. And also access to clean, safe drinking water. You know, it's really important, because if there's no water, many of our refugees in some of the slum shelters that they are provided, it's really difficult for them to have adequate water. Then also they also need to be heard. You know, it's quite a difficult situation that they will be in, and we ought to listen to them. We ought to understand them, because it's not their fault that they are migrating from their country, going to a foreign country, but circumstances, those are the ones that are forcing them to move to another country. This is what I had, and I'd like to thank you all for listening. Probably we're going to use the chat platform, you know, if anyone has any additions. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tino. So thank you for that information, because actually, as I'm not that familiar as in a situation or this crisis about refugees, because it's not familiar or it's not known here in Asia. So to be able to hear and understand what's happening, what they feel, what's happened, or the situation itself, makes us see the bigger picture of about everything. That doesn't mean it doesn't happen in my part of my continent, but it's already happening, and the experiences that they had is also needs to be considered. So thank you about that, Tino. So as we're getting deeper into our topic and understanding more about this, let's have a short break first. Let's all take a deep breath and listen to some songs. And when we come back, we will hear Obay as he shares his experience and inspire us with his story as a refugee. Again, as a reminder, we are live on Facebook. Simply search Open Space Conversations, GMF 2022 to 2024. And you are very welcome to leave your comments, thoughts, experiences, and or everything in the comment section. We will be reading those when we come back. Hasta pronto.
No sickness, toil or danger in that bright land to which I go. And I'm going there to see my mother. And I'm going there no more to roam. And I'm only going over Jordan. And I'm only going over home now.
Gonna read some of the shout outs from Facebook Live. So there's comment says, Michelle, shout out from Amanda from Atlanta, Mame from Atlanta, and comments from Michelle said, proud of my brothers. And she said, that is true. That is a true fact about the LGBT community, especially in most African countries, and it's very sad. So I think this is related to Tapi was sharing earlier. And then Amanda said, thanks for your thoughtful conversation. And Mamay said, great job. And also there is some There's also some shout-outs, Grace from Ecuador and Modesto from Laos. So thank you everyone for listening and joining us for this conversation right now. So now, thank you again for tuning in, and even though we have technical issues, you're still listening to us. So once again, thank you all for supporting us, and I hope this discussion is inspiring to everyone. So now we will now continue our conversation about the global issues of refugees. Earlier, we learned about what a refugee is, and we got a chance and get a glimpse of what they experience. But now, we're very grateful to have someone in our space who willingly share his story. We can better understand this issue with Obay's first-hand experiences. So, like a very short background, as he shared earlier, so he's from Syria, and he's now in Germany, and she needs to fly in Germany when he was 11. And now, he was now here, and we call it people to call refugees. So, hi, Obay. Glad to have you here in our show.
Hi, Pao. It's nice to be here. Hi, everyone. Absolute pleasure.
Yeah. So, at this time, I have a few questions for you so we can get to know you better and listen to your story. So, I'll start. As you left your home country, Syria, at the age of 11, you were young but old enough to have strong memories of what was happening around you. I can't imagine the danger your family went through to flee for safety. Can you share with us the specific threats you faced to escape your country? What was it like for you as a child to go through that? So you can share your...
Well, hello everyone. For me, it was definitely a very difficult time. The threats that we faced leaving our country was not so much at the beginning, but rather towards the middle and the end when we reached Turkey. One of the very well-known dangers is the rubber boat danger, how people are practically stuffed into a rubber boat, twice the maximum limit, and sent to sea with hope of reaching the other side. So I personally had to suffer from drowning with my family and the people in the rubber boat twice, swimming back to shore and having to throw luggages, everything into the water to have less weight, taking clothes off. It's a pretty scary place to be in. But luckily I could swim. Another danger we faced was persecution for being, as we call, illegal people, because we cross borders illegally. For example, in Hungary, the prisons that we were stuffed into, also in Greece, one experience we had was being sent back from Greece through a land border back to Turkey into a military zone, where if you're caught in this zone, you face up to 3 years. This was done by the Greek police, the Greek commando, that picked us up in sea, imprisoned us for a whole day, and later that night transported us with a prison truck across back to Turkey, where it was actually rice fields. So we were practically stranded in rice fields with a bunch of mosquitoes, no resources, starving, no phones, all of that. I mean, the dangers are very well known. Another danger we faced was, for example, the story that happened in Austria, where 70 refugees were found in the back of a freezing truck used for human trafficking, practically organ trafficking, all this and that. So that was a pretty scary experience to know that this danger could be encountered. However, you know that you can't go back. You've already started this trip and you have to finish it. You can't stand somewhere in the middle. So yeah. Any other questions you might have?
Yeah, so thank you for that. It's like a very hard story to tell, but thank you for sharing with us. So now, as you know, we know that you're already in Germany, arriving in a new land with a different language, culture, and environment, how did your family transition? And at what point do you feel at ease and safe in that place?
For me, I felt safe before I landed in Germany, to be honest. To me, the safety began in Austria after being practically thrown out of jail in Hungary after serving almost 2 weeks in Hungary. We were taken to the Austrian borders. From there, we wanted to take a train, but as I said, we heard a lot of scary stories, and apparently that train that we had to take would let us out at a station where we would have to walk 15 or 20 kilometers to reach the next destination. At that point, there were volunteers from the Red Cross. In Germany, we call it the Rotes Kreuz, and they volunteered to take people from Hungary back to Austria. One lady that we were lucky and very fortunate enough to meet took us with her, took us, welcomed us in her home, fed us, put clothes on us, something I can never forget, because at that point I was an 11-year-old boy weighing at 26 kilos, so practically sticks and bones. So she took care of us and looked at further contacts to contact in Germany in order to ensure us a safe route to Germany, practically.
Yeah, thank you. So, like, even though you have different experiences with every country you face, but I'm glad that you feel safe during your stay and, like, the process of it. So, I just also want to ask, what are some of the specific barriers and challenges you are facing living in Germany right now, and how are you coping with it?
Well, honestly, in comparison to the challenges and barriers I faced in my own home country, I'm facing no challenges in Germany. I need to be very thankful for the life that I get to live in this country and the time that I get to spend. Luckily, I am now a certified German. It took a while, but now I am German, thank you. And it makes everything easier for me. Of course, that doesn't change the way I look. I still don't look German. So certain times you might experience racism. But at the end of the day, that is everywhere. And in comparison to other cities or even other countries in Europe, Frankfurt's racism is really harmless, to be honest. At least what I've encountered. I can't speak on other people's experiences.
Yeah, we're very thankful that you have your citizenship now and you feel safe at their place. Even they experienced very hard hardships during that time when you was young, but yeah, at least you're coping it very well right now. So I also want to ask, what were some of the ways you received community support when you arrived and receiving until now?
Well, some of the community support that we received was, as I said, for example, the lady, I don't want to mention her name, that brought us from Hungary to Austria and then contacted a further friend of hers who took care of us in Frankfurt. She hosted us at her house until we could find a refugee camp to attend, took care of us in every way possible. Another support that we got was, for example, from my parents, the German courses that they received from Teachers on Road. This was a little organization of voluntary teachers who were teaching the German language. There was a lot of people and really countless amounts of people who were always offering help when it came to language integration or all this and that. And I'm very thankful for them. I can never, ever neglect the help that they provided, because it was very crucial in that moment. It shaped the future for us, because for some people, they stayed in refugee camps for 2 years and they were not given the opportunity to learn German, which then slowed down their integration process, slowed down everything for them. As the brother Tino mentioned, people could not get job licenses, they could not get job permits, all this and that. For us, that process was sped up, luckily, because of the support that we were provided with.
Yes, thank you for that. So we've heard, like, as you shared, there's a community that's helping the refugees in that place, and we're thankful that you're receiving it. And we don't know what's happening in the other countries and other places, but I hope they also receive support from them. So we will talk about it later. But now, at this time, the last question that I prepared for you, what's your take on that experience that you're going to brought or going to be bringing to continue living your life?
Well, honestly, the experience I was given is I see it more as a blessing than a burden. It shaped up the man I became today, the personality I have, the mentality I have. I'm not sad or angry at God or the universe, as some people might see, for making me go through this. I feel like every great story has a lot of suffering in it. The superhero is getting his ass whooped, sorry for my language, 90% of the movie until he finally wins it in the end. So I feel like all the hardships, everything taught me lessons in life, being able to appreciate a piece of bread, which I'm just sitting here eating. I don't need anything on a piece of bread, to be honest with you. For me, it's more than enough. I have water, I have bread, I'm good. That's all I can say.
Thank you, Obay. Yeah, so some people say because you've experienced that, you should blame other people, blame everything about what's happening. But yeah, you treat it as a blessing. And yeah, Thank you for that positive mindset that you're bringing us today. So now the time for me questioning is done. So we will have give the other people to ask a question. But for now, thank you again for being vulnerable with us with this conversation, Obay. I know your experience is not very easy, but you fought well in life, and we're grateful to hear your stories today. So we'll have time later for other questions, but now I'm inviting Stephen to share with us what are the support and responses our fellows are receiving around the world. What are the actions the government, organizations, individuals are doing for them? So take it away, Stephen.
Thank you so much for the time. Yeah, so for me, as you have said, I'll talk about the support that our friends receive in the refugee camp and wherever they are staying. So in general, asylum seekers receive various forms of support around the world, depending on the host country's policies and resources. So in many cases, they are provided with access to basic necessities such as shelter, food, health care, and education. Some countries also offer legal assistance to help refugees navigate the asylum process and access their rights. Additionally, organizations like the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, UNHCR, often play a key role in providing protection and assistance to refugees, including advocating for their rights and working to find solutions to their displacement. So many countries also have programs in place to help refugees integrate into their new community. So these include language classes, as Obey said, job training, and supporting services to promote their self-sufficiency. So however, it's important to note that the level and quality of support can vary widely from country to country, and many refugees still face significant challenges and barriers in their pursuit of safety and stability, just like our brother said. So I have an example, a case study of Malawi. In Malawi, refugees and asylum seekers are typically supported through a combination of government and international aid agency initiatives. So the government, the Malawi government, in partnership with organizations such as the UNHCR and other non-governmental organizations, the local non-governmental organizations, they provide basic assistance such as shelter, food, health care, and education to those refugees residing in official refugee camps. Malawi government also allows refugees the freedom of movement and the right to seek employment. So the UNHCR plays a vital role in advocating for their rights as well, facilitating their process to asylum procedures and coordinating services to support their protection and well-being. By providing they provide services like social, psychosocial support, livelihood programs, and skills training. So despite these efforts, challenges still persist, including limited resources, overcrowding in refugee camps, and gaps in access to education and health care. The government and its partners continue to provide, to work towards enhancing support mechanisms for refugees and asylum seekers in Malawi to ensure their safety, dignity, and eventual integration in the host country. So what I've said is also similar to a case in Liberia. The UNHCR and other local non-governmental organizations are also doing exactly what I've said about Malawi. Yeah, so that's what I can say for now. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen. So as how Stephen shared, there's still actions from around the world for this kind of issue. And he also shared about Malawi. And this Tino or Tapipa wants to share something from their country or no, but no pressure. But yeah, we have heard many things that organizations, individuals, government are doing something for them. Yes? If okay, so now as we get to see the refugee perspective of this and the support given to them, we will have a short break. When we come back, we will have a few moments that we can ask Obay if you have questions. And to our listeners, you can also send to us your comments on our Facebook Lives, and we will read them back after the break. So see you later.
Now we came here to do this interview, you already know. I got cameras all around me. I got Frosty on my left, let's get it. Multiply all this money like a mathematician. My mama say, son, don't act like you passed religion. Piled some sins up, I hope my past forgiven. Every day I grow, I know I regret past decisions. Say, respect is given, not taken. On my grind, no, I can't be waking them bacon. They say my vision is faded, but I still make it like Jason Tatum. Disagree, no debate, you hating. Heinous, dark as I ain't sold my soul to Satan. Gotta put my faith in brains on pavements, hold this sensation, feel this frustration. Been locked up in basements, serving us with bacon. My code, I won't break it, so I'll never take it. I was raised up on thin ice while you were skating. Grew up with pimps, I can tell a hoe by fragrance. Saw Brody cooking up the white without an apron. Who the fuck you snaking? Swear that I am patient. I'm running out of patience, I might leave at this station. Show dedication like an Asian, I ain't racist. Smack you in your face no matter what color your face is. Only cause I fuck this half rap game don't mean that I'm a rapist. My right knuckle saw more jaws than the orthodontist. But to be honest to myself, I made that pinky promise. Cause this demon in me shit straight demonic and I'm on it. But let me tell you, I learned a thing or two. First of all, pay attention who you speaking to. Cause when you open up, that's when they be creeping through. Tell your girl and you'll find out that she's cheating too. Only cause she tell you talk don't mean you gotta speak. Goddamn, I put down my phone and keep it on repeat. Cause I freestyle from the top of this dome. I bring it from Rome, from Naples, from the Staples. Keep it real, I ain't never debated. Bring it back, cause the greatest, and I just demonstrate it. Cause I keep it back, and they just replicate it. Why the fuck are you motherfuckers trying to even hate it? Hey, knock my grind from the Tower of Pisa. I bring it back, cause I scoop it, and I eat it like pizza. Goddamn, I bring it back, and I'm chilling Ibiza. Nope, I can't even leave this land, this country. Yeah. Do this shit automatic. Get it out of here. You're done now.
Okay, now we're back. Actually, just want to share that song was actually sung by Obay. So what a great song, Obay. So yeah, what a strong message we heard from it. So now I'm going to read some of the comments from our Facebook Live. So here it is. I read that Tanaka said, enjoying the conversation. Hosea from Liberia. And then Rere said, Obay, we appreciate you deeply for sharing your story with us. It is eye-opening for those who doesn't know what there are people out there who needs utmost attention. We pray you heal from the wounds of the past as you go on with life. Then Vani from the Philippines. Then Michelle said, thank you for sharing, Obay. It must not be easy telling your story and having to relive it. Then Amanda said, Obay, thank you for your vulnerability and sharing. I lament the harm that has come to you and all those forced to leave their homes. Then Grace said, thank you so much for sharing your story, Obay. And Danai said, watching from Zimbabwe, interesting conversations. And Philo said, very nice song. So thank you so much for your comments in our Facebook Lives. If you have question, you can just post it out and we will hear it, or we will say it here in our live or in our discussion. So now we will open the floor and space for everyone if you have questions. And this can also be the time to understand more better about refugees and help us to be more aware. So our panelists or our guests, do you have questions for Obay? Okay, Tapiwa, you can go ahead.
All right, thank you very much. So I think I wouldn't want to say it's a question, but also it's maybe a call to action and something that we can actually discuss, because I think social integration for refugees is one of the major challenges that we have been facing ongoingly, and to some extent it has led to huge xenophobic attacks, and it has brought about xenophobic behavior amongst the locals in different countries that are hosting refugees, especially in most African countries. So I think my question and my contribution, what we would want to discuss is, what actions would we propose as young people to ensure that there is seamless integration of people who are seeking asylum or people who are refugees? I think that's my submission. And
okay. Obay, can you share your thoughts for that?
To be completely honest with you, I did not understand most of the question. The internet sadly broke off. I just wanted to make sure that I understood it correctly. You're asking what we as young people can do to improve the situation in terms of integration?
Yeah, I think what I wanted to say is, since you have shared your story, right, in terms of your experiences as a refugee, what can you do as a young person to also help other people who are looking into, who are in certain situation, to ensure seamless integration? And also to the rest of the group, what can we actually do, even though we are not in that position, what can we do to actually help those who are in that position?
I really like the question, and I really appreciate that question, because I feel like not many people are ready to ask that question. The answer to it, I don't think there is one answer. I think it's a majority of answers that play a huge role in this term. We as a generation need to focus on embracing differences. It's not so much trying to melt each other into one pot, but rather embrace the differences. Just like you guys have different experiences in your respective countries and from your respective pasts, I have different experiences, and I feel like what's nice and what makes us so different is what brings us together at the end of the day. And I feel like we as a generation need to focus on that, as well as we need to focus on the integration from the refugee side. In my eyes, I feel like the refugees, at least in my experience in Germany, what I've seen is a lot of refugees misuse the opportunities that are given in terms of, for example, language courses, not attending them. These language courses are being paid for by Germans, by tax, hardworking taxpayers. And I feel like the first thing that you can do to show your appreciation as a refugee is to take it seriously. So I don't think it's a matter of the other side of people who are receiving the refugees. Yes, we can do something on that part, but at the same time, we need to look at the refugee part as well to make sure that everything flows harmonically.
Thank you, Obay. For others who's maybe the other side, do you have things on your mind, Tino? Yeah, okay, go.
Thank you so much, Paula, for this. And first, I would like to acknowledge Obay for a very touching story that you have shared with each and every one of us. And thank you so much. It takes a lot of courage. For me, I'll just want to add what my brother Tapio has just shared with us. I think it's also, very important for for the organizations, rather if even like governments and some you know, stakeholders that are, you know, that are governing much of the policies in the world, to really take this issue of refugees very seriously. And you know, much of them, you know, they want to be reactive instead of like starting to be proactive. It's really important that we address issues and factors that may that might lead to you know, people migrating from one country to another, seeking refuge and, you know, seeking assistance and help. It's really important that we advocate for better change in the world, making the world a better place, you know, finding, coming up with different ways to like mainstream the issue of refugees and asylum seekers. Because from what Obey was sharing, it's really hard, you know, the circumstances that he had to go through. And I'm quite sure many families are displaced from with their loved ones. I don't want to go deep into what he has said. So it's really important to for some stakeholders and governments to take this issue of refugees more seriously, not just by, you know, having to, you know, being leaders in giving assistance, but also to be leaders in trying to eradicate the issue, the root causes of the, which leads to refugees moving from countries to countries. So it's really important that people have to come up with ways of being proactive and not being reactive. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So, Michelle, have a question, but I think it's mostly related to the question Tapiwa raised earlier. So, what are some of the ways in which individuals can help refugees? So, maybe Tino shared about more into the bigger scale or in the macro scale of the world and how we will help the refugees, but as individuals, and do you want to share something? Or maybe, Obay, do you have something on your mind, like as individuals, maybe in the host country or maybe outside country of individuals, how can they help refugees? Anyone can? Okay, Obay.
Well, to me personally, I can only speak from my experience with Germany and what I know from other experiences in terms of Sweden and the Netherlands. In Germany, I feel like they did a great job. I can never speak bad about what they've done towards us. I'm very thankful for it. However, in certain cases, for certain refugees and certain nationalities, they were placed on hold for really long periods of time, prolonged periods of times. And some friends of mine had to wait 2 to 3 years to be moved out of that refugee camp. Some are still in a refugee camp after 8 years. Now ask yourself, me personally, I ask myself that question. If someone cannot work for 8 to 9 years and he is only relying on 300 to 400, say 500 euros a month per person, isn't that person at a certain point going to be tempted to enter the illegal market, illegal work market? Absolutely. It's only a natural reaction because we humans have, let's say, a certain greed in us, not just greed, but admirations. We want to achieve more, and people are not going to be satisfied with their 300-400 euros. Of course, that's not me saying give them more money. What I am saying is I feel like in terms of integration into work, that process, in my opinion, needs to be looked at again very heavily and studied again, because in certain cases it worked very well for my family, but in other cases it didn't.
Okay, thank you. Obay, Tapiwa, okay, go.
Yeah, I think from an individual level, what we can do is make sure that we focus on raising awareness on these topical issues, in as much as they are uncomfortable to discuss about. As the young people, it's now our responsibility to get to discuss these key issues and raise awareness about it. Because sometimes people act because they don't have knowledge about something. They don't have an in-depth understanding of a thing. So I do think that we really need to start raising awareness, continuing as awareness on these issues on an individual level as young people.
Okay, thank you, Tapiwa. So others also still want to share, or okay, so Yeah, we heard Obais as he experiencing it, and as Tapiwa also wants to emphasize that we have to have an in-depth understanding with this. As maybe for me, as I'm not around Europe, I don't know much about refugees, but yeah, to have the space, to have the platform of learning more about this issue helps individuals to know more how to solve it together with one another. Okay, so now I have this one question from Facebook Live. It's from Libby. She said, Obai, your music is fire. Can you share with us your passion for music? So can you share about more of your gifts or your passion? Yeah, how did you come up with that song?
Well, me personally, I had a lot of pain inside my chest, quite metaphorically, and a lot of things that I could not process throughout my brain, especially when you see this stuff as a young kid. I resorted to martial arts, boxing especially, at a very young age because of my tough upbringing, being sick of being kicked around, let's just keep it quite honest. I decided to take matters in my own hand and become a boxer, and I took the sport very, very seriously. Had a couple of amateur fights here and there. And another thing that I could never process was my emotions. And yes, boxing helped me process pain, trauma, suffering, but at the same time, it never really allowed me to get it out of me. It was almost just punching, you know what I mean? Nothing more. So I discovered and stumbled upon poetry and really started to write more poetry, read more poetry, and as well to study the poetry, study poetry, because I feel like as a student, you gotta study more than you put out. After stumbling upon another rapper called Logic, I was very inspired by his story, as well as Eminem's story, to how they started rapping, and both of them came from a poetry background or a poetry-based background. So I decided, you know what, let's put a beat on, let's try something. Of course, the first, let's say, 3-4 years of rapping was a misery because I'm not gifted musically in any way, shape, or form. The only thing that I could say I had was, as I said, a past that I could put into a story. With time, I could paint that story in a much more metaphorical and also detailed way. Of course, that's what practice makes perfect. I say it's not practice makes perfect, it's practice makes improvements happen, because you can never achieve perfection. We only strive to be as perfect as possible. And that's how I ended up rapping. I had a good friend of mine, Aaron Sullivan, a Frankfurt legend, actually. And he gave me the opportunity to record some of my music. And with time, I started recording more and more and improving, of course, as time went by. I had great help from my friends. I had two very good friends. I can never forget Linus and Aladdin. And they both would always play beats for me to freestyle on. And that's how they practically elevated my punchlines, elevated my game, as we might say.
Yeah, thank you for sharing. We want to thank your friends and the support that you have around you to have that kind of passion to express your emotions with music. So, there's what do you have? Does others have more questions before we wrap this up? Okay, so thank you again for the questions from Facebook Live, from the panelists, from the guests. So we really got to know more about Obai with these questions. So now. I think this is the end of our discussion. So we had a great discussion. I'm very thankful with our guest for today. And I really hate to end it, but our time is coming to an end. Time flies so fast when you're engaged with great people. So this concludes our discussion on refugees and asylum seekers. Thank you again for our dear guests and listeners who shared their thoughts and stories on this issue. I know this is a very controversial topic, but we're very grateful for everyone sharing and input about it. This has been an eye-opener for all. Hopefully, everyone has learned something new during this time. With this, let us not forget that we are all human. We may have different standings in life, but let's give grace to one another. No one is beneath or over us. We are all created equal, and we are all created by the same supreme being. And we all deserve respect and love. Shout out and thank you to Sepak Tech Support, who are making this show possible for us. Although we would love to continue and talk about this issue, unfortunately, we are running out of time. But do not fear, our cohort will be back on March 6th, same time, same platform. I hope you will join us again on the next episode as we will discuss another social issue. Again, I'm Paula and this is Open Space Conversations. Blessings, stay safe, stay happy, and stay healthy. Until next time, thank you again. Adios.
I love you, God. Today, I want to speak to someone, and I'm going to read from the book of Proverbs, chapter 18:24, which reads, "One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. His name is Jesus." I know many are wondering what tomorrow holds. Many are worried and anxious on when is this going to end. But let me tell you something. There is no sickness that is greater than God, and no problem that He cannot solve. I'm here to assure you that once you have Him as a friend, you will never find yourself wanting. He is my Savior. He is my God. I love you, Jesus.
Just a moment.